Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And with us here today, somebody that you people do not want to have on your case, we have Jennifer Humby.
Wait a minute.
Who is the chairman of the NTSB.
Yeah, yeah, they're our friends.
They are, but you usually...
But they talk to the people that might not be your friends.
You just hear about them when something goes really wrong.
Well, no, they explain what went wrong.
That's when you don't want to see us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. NTSB, you guys are everywhere.
Hey, not only that, but a lot of people don't realize, you know, you handle aviation, but you handle a lot of other disasters, railroads, shipping, any kind of interstate commerce involving, like, say, tractor trailers. We've all seen this within the past few months.
Yeah, we also do pipelines, oil and gas pipelines, transit, anything on a highway, like you said, that's major. So we do a lot with only 416 fantastic, hardworking people.
So what's the cutoff point, like considering automobile accidents? You don't get involved in everyday accidents, but if it's like a 37-car pileup in the fog, then you might get involved, or what?
Well, we don't want to pick a certain number because it might be serious enough that we want to go out and investigate. So it might be there could be a safety issue that we haven't revisited in a long time that we want to look at, or there might be a new emerging technology that we want to check out. Could be like for an automated vehicle, something like that. And for some of the other modes, it's substantial damage, environmental damage, injuries or fatalities. So it is very different than aviation. For aviation, we do everything. The other ones, it's really more the significant events.
Okay. On average, how many incidents do you guys investigate per year?
So for accidents, we're probably around, I mean, I want to say maybe 2,400 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Total.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. And if you do think about 416 people and those aren't all investigators.
Yeah, it's a lot of overtime.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
And we are actually trying to, I hate to put a plug in here, but we are on a hiring surge. So if you are looking for a position and you want to work with the NTSB, a great team of people, go to USA Jobs and look us up, because we have a lot of investigator positions and support positions. It's a fantastic time.
Now, as an investigator, do you guys train a person up to where you want them?
They do get training.
Like an apprenticeship program kind of thing?
It could be. We usually match the new employees with other employees, and then we have a lot of internal training as well.
And I think one of the most important facets of training is how to pack that suitcase so that you can be out the door in 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it's a little bit difficult because we could be going to Alaska or we could be going to Texas. So,
so you got to have multiple suitcases.
We have multiple items, yes.
So, and you never shut your cell phone off, I'm sure.
I don't know. For me, I'm 24/7. We do the board members. So there's four of us now with one vacancy. But the board members all rotate all year long, so we know what weeks are ours. But for the chair, you're on 24/7. So I try to turn off my personal phone when I can, but I can never turn off the work phone.
Okay.
Well, you know, I know that you investigate a lot of accidents in this country. Well, is the NTSB involved in accident investigations in other countries across the world?
Yeah. So for aviation, it's about 450 annually. And outside of aviation, it's usually on request. If another country needs our assistance with something, we're always willing to work with them.
Okay, I got a question. That's why I'm here, because I have questions. Yeah. The Titan submarine thing, are you guys involved in that at all?
We are. So the Coast Guard is leading that investigation, but under our memorandum of understanding with the Coast Guard, we can do our own investigation. So we are doing our own investigation of that one. And we were in close communication with the Coast Guard during the recovery operations, and the Navy, who actually did the recovery of the wreckage.
Well, the NTSB has been heavily involved in a lot of high-profile cases. The accident with Galloping Ghost out in Reno, TWA 800. Mm-hmm. Both of these scenarios represent different accident scenes. How the heck do you train for the differences between them?
Well, we have investigators that have expertise in different areas. You might have somebody who is very... it was an expert on survival factors. You might have someone who focuses on human performance or operations or power plants. At the same time, you know, while every accident or incident is different, our process doesn't change. So it does follow a sort of our protocol for responding, and it's a process that has always worked for us and that we're just trained to do over and over again, regardless of what it is.
What about that guy out, where was that, Colorado, was it?
I don't know.
Put the GoPros on the airplane and then bailed out. Did you guys get involved in that?
Yeah.
Well, we started to, and then it quickly turned into a criminal investigation.
Yes.
And so we have some agreements that once it turns criminal, we have to turn that over. But yeah.
Okay.
But they can they use your technology to help figure out what happened?
Oh, absolutely. We have memorandums of understanding with the FBI and others that we actually work really closely with them. Sometimes they'll send their investigators out to train with us, and we'll do the same. We may help them in other areas. A great example is the bridge collapse that we investigated in Pittsburgh. Almost 2 years ago, I think, where we didn't have equipment that we could see under the bridge. And so the FBI brought out equipment for us. They'll help us document the scene and other things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a question that went out of my head, darn it. And it was a good one. Wait, me first.
Okay.
How much has technology evolving and changing made it easier for you guys? Like in... you know, records inspection techniques, that kind of stuff.
Technology is both a benefit and a challenge. You know, things are moving very quickly and changing in all the modes of transportation. Automation isn't just in aviation. We're looking at, like I said, automated vehicles. There's a lot of automation now in train operations, and so it has been helpful for our folks, but it also does create some challenges, especially when it comes to what data exists. You know, when an operator has some sort of technology that we want to get data from, we don't necessarily know what we're not asking for, because there might be data on there that, you know, didn't exist in some previous technology, but it exists there. So it has created a challenge, but we have a fantastic research and engineering team and lab team that just does great work.
Okay.
Well, here's my question, okay? Galloping Ghost is obviously one of the most violent aircraft accidents I have ever seen. But yet, with the help of photographers and a lot of other things, the NTSB was able to pin the cause of that accident. The problem being, as far as I could tell, is the fact that what was left of the airplane was confetti. Mm. And there was data that was pulled. I don't know if they had telemetry on board that was sending a live signal back, but you know, the NTSB went through the telemetry, figured out what the heck was going on with this airplane. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is very incredible. When I first started at the board in 2018, actually, I think it was spring of 2019, I went to a mid-air collision in Ketchikan, Alaska. And I looked at our lead aerospace engineer and I said, oh my gosh, how do you figure out how these two planes came together? Because it was a pretty substantial wreckage. And he said, well, if you want to know, stick around. So I stuck around and just watched how he did everything. It's incredible what they do. I learned so much from our people.
Okay. Let's say I have the unfortunate circumstance to be first on the scene of something like a small plane crash or anything. What should I be doing thinking of your guys' investigation? What's the first thing I should do?
Well, I would call our response operations center to report it to our folks. That gets, once it goes into our response operations center, which operates 24/7, then they notify everybody on duty that something has occurred. That starts the whole chain of events. So if it's, you might be in, if we're in Wisconsin, we might have somebody who is lives in Wisconsin. Maybe they don't even do aviation, but they would come and help stake it down until we were here.
Okay, but I guess one you want us to try and not disturb the scene as much as possible.
Don't disturb the scene. Leave it. And if you have video or photographs, always send it to us at witness.ntsb. Witness@ntsb.gov. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, let's see. That's something I didn't even know existed.
Yeah. Witness, no, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Witness@ntsb.gov. Every time I've been on scene, we always state that, especially to the media, so they can get that information out. We have gotten incredible help from the public over the years. It has really helped us.
Well, especially with the small airplanes and stuff, there's no telemetry, there's no black box, there's no, all you got is pieces.
Yeah, and so those videos and those pictures really do help.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I was going to say, some of the navigation equipment have SD cards in them that will record. It's kind of a black box in a primitive way. And I'm sure that helps, too, if you can find them.
Yes.
Yeah, if they survive. All right, I want to thank you. We've been speaking with Jennifer Homendy of the NTSB. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. And if you get a chance, I'll be at the booth today from 10 to 12 in Hangar D, Delta.
Very good. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.